We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products, and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Rotor Grinders Morning Grind Podcast. I'm your host, Stevie TPFL. It's Friday. It's October 28th. It is 2022. We have an 11-game NBA slate to talk about here on today's podcast. I'm joined by Tim Buell, Tasteful Tides. Tim, what's happening, my friend?
How's it going, Stevie? We haven't done a show together in quite some time. I haven't been on the Morning Grind in, I think, like a year. I'm glad to be back on with you. I guess we're doing live YouTube now. Is that right?
Live on YouTube, Roto Grinders Morning Grind YouTube page. If you click notifications and subscribe over there, see, I'm not even used to saying it. You'll know when we go live each and every night before breaking down these games. But yeah, live on YouTube and just kind of hanging out. I mean, it really hasn't changed much for me outside of a lot less post. Editing, which is always kind of nice.
That's not a bad thing, right? I mean, that makes life a little bit easier.
There's like more to do at the beginning and less to do at the end, so I mean, it kind of all equals out. But yeah, if you're watching live, feel free to comment on the YouTube chat. I have that always open during the show if you feel like interacting with the show. But yeah, big slate, 11 games, a lot to talk about here today. Before we jump in and start talking about this slate, I want to talk to you about our sponsor of the podcast, Sleeper Fantasy. It's a unique prop-based fantasy site where you and your friends can enjoy fantasy sports together in a fun and social way. Join the Roto Grinders squad and use promo code GRINDERS for a 100% deposit match up to $100. If you're already a member over there on Sleeper, you can go to the podcast description or just go to sleeper.com/grinders and you'll get pulled into that. So ton of people posting in the Roto Grinders squad each and every day as far as NBA, NFL, all kinds of stuff going on over there. So if you haven't checked that out, do it. We'll have a sleeper 2-for-2 pick at the end of the podcast on the morning grind game. So if you haven't joined Grinders, 100% deposit up to $100. We can jump in and get started here with Charlotte at Orlando taking on my Orlando Magic. 226.5 total in this game. Charlotte, a 3-point favorite. Ball is out. Martin Ogier doubtful on the Charlotte side. On the Orlando side, Anthony, Fultz, Harris, Isaac, Suggs out for the Magic. Start here with Charlotte. No Ogier. Should be all the Dennis Smith Jr. What are your thoughts here on the Charlotte Hornets?
Yeah, you gotta like Dennis Smith Jr. after his last game, and you definitely shouldn't sleep on him. And I don't think we've had quite the big Kelly Oubre game yet, but you know that he's a big time. Like, he loves to shoot the threes, and that's a great pathway to a ceiling performance for GPPs. So I think Smith Jr. maybe for lower risk type contests. Gordon Hayward, kind of the same thing, more of a cash game type play, smaller field. But then I really don't think that we should forget about Kelly Oubre for larger field tournaments.
Yeah, I like the Oubre call. Last season when Ogier and Ball were off the floor, we saw good usage for Oubre. This season, 77.7 minutes, 25% usage, averaging over a fantasy point per minute. Hayward right around a fantasy point per minute. Dennis Smith Jr. at 1.2 fantasy points per minute. So I think DSJ would be my favorite play here from Charlotte. No doubt. I mean, he's just going to play so many minutes, and he's still probably a little underpriced for the role and the matchup here against my Magic. I like the Hayward and Oubre call. I don't really want to keep going after that. I mean, Jalen McDaniels would be like the large field flyer, I think, usage-wise.
What about James Bonite? Is that how you pronounce his name? He's small sample size, but, he did have a good game last game, I believe. He's got a 22.6% usage rate. I think that perhaps maybe in a really large field GPP, if you needed the value.
Yeah, I don't hate it. He's really cheap. Not my favorite because they have Theo Maldon too. And I could just see it being like a hot hand situation for usage on that second unit. These are large field tournament plays. I mean, we'll see. Going to the Orlando side of things, Paolo Banchero just continues to show that he was the most NBA ready player in the draft. And as a Magic fan, I'm super excited. We've had five games now, and he's had over 30% usage in four of the five games. What are your thoughts here on the Orlando Magic?
Yeah, but Banchero is definitely the play. This is definitely going to be a pace up matchup for the Magic. The Hornets do play at they play at a top 10 pace now. I would imagine that stays true throughout the season. So this should be a good pace up spot for the Magic. This is a little bit of a injury hampered Magic team right now. So I really like that call on Banchero. I don't mind maybe a little Wendell Carter Jr. Plumlee can get like absolutely torched sometimes on the defensive end of the court. So, and then Terrence Ross is kind of like my Kelly Oubre on the other side of this game, right? He's a guy that loves to shoot. He loves to shoot threes. And if he gets hot, he can have a massive ceiling performance.
Charlotte's so bad against bigs that, I mean, again, like Paolo is just someone that I absolutely love in this spot. So, his usage is insane. Ross off the bench, high usage guy off the bench, gets a ton of shots up. I mean, you can play Franz Wagner, someone that's just kind of consistent. His price is kind of caught up to the production. He's going to get double-digit shot attempts almost every night, and he is someone that will get rebounds and assists. It's just, I don't know if he necessarily has a ceiling at 6,400 to win you a tournament.
I'll tell you, you know, if this wasn't such a large slate and this wasn't, you know, one of the first games, I would have a lot more interest. I kind of, for better or worse, I have a tendency to like fade the, you know, or try not to get too much exposure to the first games of the night. So, you know, it's just, but this could really, this game is really fantastic for tournaments.
Yeah, we have a bunch of good games on this slate. You know, we have a couple.
Yeah.
I mean, we have a couple duds. I mean, Cleveland and Boston are playing. Philly and Toronto are playing. We have a couple duds, but we have a lot of great games overall on this slate. So, Atlanta at Detroit. 227.5 total in this one. Atlanta, 6-point favorite. Bogdanović still out for Atlanta. Bagley, Burks out, and Ivy questionable for Detroit. Start with the Atlanta side of things here. You know, we were all kind of curious what it was going to look like in this offense with DeJounte Murray joining Trae Young. And, I mean, these guys definitely clicking. No doubt about it. They look fantastic. Atlanta is the team that's going to be reckoned with in the East. Trae Young, 34.5% usage rate, averaging almost 1.4 fantasy points per minute this season. What are your thoughts here on the Hawks?
Yeah, I mean, Detroit comes in with the third worst defensive rating. Like, I understand that we're very, very early on in the season, but I don't anticipate that's going to improve that much. You know, maybe they end up being like a bottom third at best in defensive rating. So Trae Young should absolutely torch Cade Cunningham, assuming, or Jaden Ivey, either one, whoever matches up with him. Trae Young should absolutely smash here. It's just, you know, Trae Young last slate he played on, he came in at 5% owned, and it looked like he was going to have a massive ceiling performance, but he really didn't. So I think that Murray kind of hampers that ceiling a little bit, so it kind of concerns me, but you know that big game's going to come, and I would not be shocked at all if that game comes against Detroit. The other person I wanted to talk about real quick was John Collins. He's been playing like 36 minutes a game. That's, you know, his usage rate isn't great, but it's definitely, I think, a solid GPP play just because of the minutes and the matchup.
My problem with, I mean, Young and Murray really are 50 is probably not enough on this slate.
Right.
Yep. You know, I think they both get 50. I love the John Collins call. At least 12 shot attempts in every game so far. 34 minutes against Houston opening night, and then 36 or more in three straight. So like the John Collins call, he's someone that I'll definitely be looking at, like points, rebound props, because he is just someone that fills up both of those stat sheets. I don't want to add assists because he's really not someone that's going to get a ton of assists. So really want to look at Collins, you know, on the prop side of things, points, rebound type of stuff. So
that's a really good call. He might be a better prop play depending on kind of how the rest of the slate, because, you know, as we all know, this is a first look pod, so we don't know news. So, but yeah, he could end up being a really good prop bet tomorrow.
Yeah, I mean, I looked and it's not up yet, so I'll be interested to see what his point rebound prop comes in at. Talk to me here about the Detroit side of this game.
So there's two guys that I would be interested in, and one is Cade Cunningham. We have seen him kind of take over like the true alpha role that we want out of him. Sometimes his shooting efficiency lags, but he is a great fantasy producer. So I think that he could definitely be a decent part of your tournament portfolio. He comes in with around 30% usage rate, which is fantastic. And then the other one is Bogdanović. He tends to go extremely low owned, and he has the offensive ability to definitely pay off his price tag. But other than that, I don't really have any other interest in any of these Pistons.
I want to see this Jaden Ivey news. That can play a huge role. I think he plays. I mean, it's just like an illness thing. You know, he did miss Wednesday's game. So, I mean, it kind of plays a huge role. If he were to sit, you know, obviously, you know, we saw Cade Cunningham put up, what was it, 6 or 7 more shots in that game? Huge. Like, that's huge. 6 or 7 more shots in an NBA game, that's huge. So, in a game like this where they're going to need some scoring, if Ivy's out, I definitely have a ton of interest in Cunningham. Outside of that, I mean, Bogdanovich saw a little bit more shot attempts with Ivy out as well. So if Ivy sits, I mean, those two guys would be guys that I'd be targeting in this spot if Ivy sits. If Ivy plays, I don't really have a ton of interest in Detroit. Their pricing is kind of where it should be.
I highly doubt, other than maybe Cade, that, you know, if we get a ton of news, you're going to be getting to a ton of these Pistons, really. Despite the decent matchup.
You could see like Isaiah Stewart having a big game in a matchup like this, but I just don't think you get to him on an 11 game slate. So
isn't he only center? He's only center eligible, right? Or is he power forward center?
Pretty sure he's center only. No, he's power forward center.
Okay. Cause if he's center only, there's no way I could get to him just cause center is just always so loaded.
He has that like 7x upside, you know, 5,300. So, I mean, these two teams just played. I hate when this happens. Like, I hate how the NBA schedules games sometimes, but who am I to judge? Cleveland at Boston, 219.5 total in this one. Boston, a 5.5 point favorite. Garland and Rubio out for Cleveland. Gallo, Williams, and Williams out for Boston. This is going to be a pretty slow-paced game overall. Two good defensive teams, two good offensive teams. No Garland. What are we looking at here for Cleveland?
Donovan Mitchell. I mean, he's been the guy since Garland went down. Over a 33% usage rate. You know, playing 35 minutes a game. Horrible matchup though, right? I mean, on this huge slate, in this, like you said, both of these teams are bottom third in pace. I doubt that I can really justify getting to Mitchell. It's a pretty ugly game. I'm kind of waiting for that big Jared Allen game, that big Evan Mobley game, but I don't want to bet on it in this matchup. So, honestly, I think I would X out the Cavs right out of my player pool.
Yeah, I don't think it's crazy at all. Mitchell is someone that, you know, his usage is going to be really good. LeVert's playing a ton of minutes. He just hasn't had like that really good shooting night yet. I don't know if this is the spot, but it's just something to kind of note, to pay attention for, like a good matchup. I mean, it's not like he's had bad matchups. He just played Orlando and just didn't shoot well again. He's someone that is really interesting when it comes to paying attention here over the next week or so. If Garland continues to be out.
I mean, yeah, totally. I mean, just, you know, wait for a better matchup, but LeVert is going to have an explosion game one of these times. And same thing with Mobley. Like he's only
Mobley is going to have.
I mean, he's like 6,100 in this matchup. I'd almost think that that's where I'd want to attack if I had to have somebody in this game, or if I made a team that I loved and I landed on him as like a price point play, because just the amount of minutes that he gets, he might have like the quietest 6 or 7x, and we not even, you know, doesn't even make the highlight reel. You know, it's just, he just kind of goes about his business, right? So, but I would certainly not make anybody a priority.
Especially with both Williams out, like he's gonna get a lot of Horford. I think he could do really well in that matchup. So he's someone that I would, another guy that I'd be looking at maybe like his point prop, because he didn't have like the best start to the season. That, you know, could come in at like 14 or 15. And I think that is something I'd be looking at the over on. So Boston side of this game, I mean, we know where a lot of the production is going to come offensively from this team. Jason Tatum looks fantastic. Cleveland has a good defensive team. I just, who are they going to, I mean, Jetty Osmond, I guess, against Tatum, that, I mean, that screams Jason Tatum having a good game. What are your thoughts here on Boston?
Well, don't you think that, I would think that Mobley would guard Tatum, right?
I guess, yeah, Allen at the five, Mobley. Yeah. I mean, I still think that's a plus matchup for Tatum.
Well, I mean, Tatum's going to make a serious case, I think, for MVP this year. So I think any matchup is pretty good for Tatum. Tatum's just going to lose, probably not going to win the MVP just because of the style of basketball that the Celtics play. So he's just not going to have like the humongous individual stat lines that we vote for when we vote, when the writers vote for MVP. But I still think that he'll be top five in voting. So I think you can really play Tatum in any matchup, but this slate's just too big. The matchup is just not good enough for me. He would not be a guy, just because of ceiling, he would not be a guy that I would completely X out, but I just can't. He's 9,600, so you really need north of 50 fantasy for it to be able to justify that price tag, and I just don't think he's going to get that much more than 50 DK points.
Anything else here on the Boston side of things?
I think it's honestly a pass for me. I've been impressed with how Derek White's been playing, and he's only 4,600. So I think he's kind of like where I was at with Evan Mobley. Like, if you land there and there's no other, like, screaming value that opens up, I think he's a decent value play.
I mean, yeah. Large field tournaments, I mean, I think Noah Vonleh is someone that could play 20 minutes in this game, 20, 22 minutes type of role. It doesn't seem like they really want to play Horford 35 minutes, and I think Vonleh would be the guy that kind of slides into, like, the Williams role. With Williams being out just for, like, a game, Williams was around, 25 to 30 minutes a night. That's enough minutes that if Vonleh got, like, a seven-minute bump here at 3,400, not the best game in the world, but I mean, 3,400 for a big man getting 22 minutes is worth mentioning at least.
Yeah. And you're right though. They might call on him because they might need his size for this game, because
I don't think they want to play Blake Griffin 20 minutes. So.
Right. Maybe. And definitely probably not in this matchup. So that might be right. That Vonleh could get a bump.
Philadelphia at Toronto, 213 total, 1.5 point favorite here for Toronto. Philly's good injury-wise. Toronto, no Otto Porter Jr. He's out. Still, we'll start here with the Philadelphia side of this game. Any interest here in the 76ers?
Well, I feel like you kind of have to have interest a little bit in James Harden. But much like the Boston-Cleveland game, this game is going to be slow-placed, and Toronto is a very good defensive team. So I don't think that he's going to be a top priority. Toronto also historically plays Embiid pretty well. They swarm him quite a bit. So I don't think that I want to get to Embiid that heavily, if at all, really. So I think, honestly, I'm not really that big on the 76ers.
Not huge on this game in general. I mean, Harden's had over a 30% usage one time this season. He has to be really efficient if he's only going to have 25% usage in these games. Embiid is the usage monster. So in the thought process of what you're saying, if Toronto does double Embiid a lot and they play him really well, Harden would be probably the guy that benefits the most. He's just 9,700 in a game that's probably going to be one of the slowest paced games on the slate. So, I mean, that's...
They rank 29th and 30th in pace.
Yeah, it's just not going to be a fast game.
Yeah, I mean, this is by far they're going to be the slowest pace game. I know we're only five games in, but this is going to be the slowest pace game.
Tyrese Maxey still, I mean, at 6,200, he's playing 38 minutes a night. So he's just someone that has to be on your list if you're playing 150 teams, you're playing these large field tournaments. Any interest here on the Toronto side?
Well, just like you said with Maxi about playing the amount of minutes, I think that it's definitely Pascal Siakam, right? In terms of, you know, he plays around 38 minutes a game, 34% usage. So, you know, we know this isn't a great, you know, matchup on paper, but if he's going to play that many minutes, I think that you have to give him some serious thought.
Yeah. Again, I don't love this game overall. It's a game like, it's a game that I really think you could almost X off. I mean, Scotty Barnes has ceiling in any matchup, and like, I completely understand if anybody wants to take shots on him, but I don't see myself playing any part of this game.
I just think that Siakam should be more than 9K, and he's still only 8,900 on DK. So I just think that that price is just, you know, as our friend Chief likes to say, there's still a little bit of meat on that bone. So it's, you know, I kind of think he's all right as a one-off, but I would also have no problem with crossing this game off.
All right, Indiana at Washington, 229.5 total in this game, one of the highest totals on the slate this game in Denver. As far as highest totals on the slate, Washington, a 6-point favorite. Pacers side, Tice is out. Washington side, Wright and Casper are out. Let's start here with the Indiana side of things. I mean, this game screams good, like a lot of production in different places. Halliburton's 8,300. That might still be too cheap for like his ceiling, especially in this matchup. What are your thoughts here on the Pacers?
Halliburton's definitely still too cheap. And it's just, you know, do we trust Carlisle to run a stable rotation? Can we trust this rotation kind of after that mess that we saw, you know, a few days ago? I think that we can at least trust Halliburton. This Jalen Smith situation is odd, right? I mean, it's kind of like he starts one game, then he doesn't, then they bench him, then he, you know, comes back in, and then he has huge games. But then obviously we want that volatility in tournaments, right? So Smith is fine for tournaments. Halliburton is great in any format. I think that if you wanted to, you know, get overweight to him in your tournament portfolio, I think that that would be a good move. And then of course we have Miles Turner, who missed the first few games and I think that he could be in a good spot in this matchup as well.
Yeah, I think they really like Jalen Smith. I think he just kind of got off to a slow start. You know, the minutes and the production have been there. That one game against San Antonio, and like those leave sour tastes in your mouth, those types of games. But overall, I think he's going to be someone, even with Turner might being back, might even help Jalen Smith. So
yeah,
I mean, my main interest here by far is Halliburton. He's just the guy that I think you can trust the most in this game and on this team. The minutes for Mathurin are kind of all over the place. If he was getting consistent minutes, but it just seems like who's ever shooting well between Buddy Hyde and Mathurin are going to get the run. Duarte is someone that kind of lurks. So like, if he's playing well, Halliburton's the play. I mean, I don't think you need to overlook Halliburton here. The rest of the minutes are just so spread out. I think if you want to take a shot in large tournaments on Jalen Smith or Miles Turner, that's where I would, you know, kind of look at the Indiana side. And then on the Washington side of this game, Bradley Beal hasn't had like that blow up game yet. The usage for Porzingis maybe kind of hurting Bradley Beal's like overall ceiling. But the guy that like is getting the usage and he's getting the shots up is Kyle Kuzma. A lot of conversation this offseason of could Kuzma could Kuzma play as well as he did, you know, last season? Would Hachimura take over for him? I mean, the shots are there. You know, 3 out of 4 games, he's had over 16 shot attempts. What are your thoughts here on Washington?
Yeah, I think any of those three guys, Indiana's going to be one of the worst defensive teams in all of basketball. So anytime you can get a guy like Kuzma or a guy like Beal or Porzingis, I would not hesitate to do it. Like you said, Beal has not had that huge explosive game yet, but he's still, I mean, he's only 8,600 on DK. So I really do like that price quite a bit, especially if he goes low owned, which I imagine that he will, because he doesn't usually, Beal doesn't usually pop in projections, which usually keeps his ownership down. So I think that assuming, I almost hope tomorrow when I'm looking at our RG projections that this Washington team isn't projecting well, because that keeps them out of optimizers and will ultimately keep their ownership down. And I think this is an unbelievably good matchup to attack.
Very stackable game.
Yes.
This game has a lot of potential on both sides, a lot of different ways you can kind of attack it. So definitely a game I like. We got the Knicks and the Bucks, 223.5 total here. Milwaukee, 6.5-point favorite on the Knicks side of things. Grimes is out. On the Bucks side, Connaughton, Ingles, and Middleton are out. Starting here with the Knicks, what do you like here from New York?
I guess Brunson would be the guy. I'm not, or maybe Mitch Rob. I'm definitely not going to go Fournier. I don't think this is that good of a spot for Barrett or Randall. So I think that it would be Brunson for me if I had to pick. He's currently leading the team in usage. I don't anticipate that will last the entire season, but he'll be top, you know, 3 or 4. You know, I think that this is not a great spot for the Knicks. I would imagine that they are not going to be able to hang with the Bucks for that long. So I'm not really very bullish on this team.
On Sleeper right now, Jalen Brunson's at 28.5 point rebound and assist. I like the over on that. I don't know how much I'll get into this game DFS wise, but Jalen Brunson, he's someone that can fill up the stat sheet. And this is a game where should be very competitive basketball game. And I think Jalen Brunson.
You think it's going to be competitive?
I do. I do.
Yeah.
I mean, you got Drew.
I mean, you could be right. It's yeah.
I mean, the starting five for the Knicks, they're really not that bad. Like, eventually, like, Fournier is going to have to get out of there, and they're going to need, you know, someone in that role, whether it be Obi Toppin or Cam Reddish or whatever it may be. I think the Knicks are not that bad. Maybe I'm wrong long-term here, but I think the Knicks are a lot better than what a lot of people give them credit for.
I don't think they're that bad. I just think the Bucks are that much
better. The Bucks
are
really good. Giannis is really good. Giannis with no Middleton. We've talked about this for years. I mean, you know, switching to that side of the game, Giannis with no Middleton is obviously – just a guy that is just an absolute beast. So, like, I completely understand. He's just 12-1. 12-1 is really tough on an 11-game slate. You know, we'll have value. We'll definitely have some value open up throughout the day. We have value now. So, I mean, the price at 12-1, like, the raw points, yeah, like 70 raw points definitely matters on an 11-game slate. But I mean, if he goes 60, I don't know if he beats you.
And this is like another, you know, tough pace matchup, bat, you know, good defense. At least, nobody can stop Giannis, but this is not going to be a run and gun, you know, fast break kind of offensive game. So, I really could not get there with that kind of price. 12-1 is just way too much.
Yeah, he's just, I mean, he's a beast. He really is. Everything that he does, he just.
Do you think 70 would be enough? Like, I know that that's good, but
yes.
Like, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, 70 is enough.
70 is enough. So, like, if we got a ton of value, let's say, then we could play him. But, like, say we don't get a ton of value, say that it's a quiet day, I wonder, like, how we can, you know, even get to him. You know, it's going to be tough. It's going to be real tough.
Yeah. I mean, you plug in Giannis, you're averaging 5,400. You're going to need to find a couple 4K guys that you really think can get 6 or 7X. And Giannis, I mean, if Giannis puts up 60, 65, he's not beating you. Like, he's really going to need 70 plus to beat you. So it's tough. I mean, he's such a hard DFS play. Just in general.
I just doubt he does it.
I mean, like, at the end of the day, if you get two guys in the 9K range that give you 60 each, like, you're probably winning with those guys over playing Giannis and a 5K guy, 60K guy. So, but anybody else from Milwaukee before we move on?
I don't think so. I'm not really in love with this game, so I think that I think it's a pass for me. Other than if you want to jam in Giannis,
I'm gonna say one thing. Like, Bobby Portis Jr., large field tournaments, if they continue to give, like, increase his minutes a little bit, if he gets 26 again, like, he's too cheap at 5,500. He's a guy that can average a point and a half per minute. So in large field tournaments, I don't hate Bobby Portis Jr. We know the Knicks like to play Randall and Robinson. They like to play size. I don't know how long Brooke Lopez stays out there in this scenario. So I think Bobby Portis Jr. in large field tournaments is not the craziest idea. Lopez is cheap, but he's center only. I don't think, like, him scoring 30 at 5,200 is going to get you there, but he's not a bad play by any means. I just don't know if he's going to score enough ceiling wise.
Yeah. I'd rather go like Mitch Rob and then run it back with like Giannis. That's what I would do.
If this was a 5 or 6 game slate, I think Brooke Lopez would be way more in the conversation.
Yes, I agree.
All right. We got the Lakers. We got Minnesota. 227 total here. Minnesota is a 7-point favorite. Bryant and Schroeder are out. Anthony Davis and Westbrook are questionable. Anderson questionable on the Minnesota side. Lakers trying to find that win. I don't know what to think here as far as the Lakers are concerned, because it really is going to be determined whether or not AD plays. I don't think Westbrook matters a ton. LeBron is going to have 35% usage no matter what happens and who plays and who doesn't play. I think right. that if Westbrook is out, Lonnie Walker and Reeves become way more playable if Westbrook doesn't play. But, I mean, we're really just kind of waiting to see what the injury news looks like here. The big thing is, like, if AD doesn't play, let's talk AD more than Westbrook here. If AD doesn't play, do we think it's Toscano Anderson getting the minutes?
That would be my guess.
That was my initial thought.
I don't see who else it could be. Damian Jones, maybe?
Troy Brown Jr., and they just go small. But not the team you can go small against. They play Cat and Gobert.
Now, I'm sorry if I'm wrong about this, but I thought I heard a report earlier that Gobert was out for this game.
It's not on the injury report.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I look at the official NBA website, and I did not see anything with that.
All right.
Not saying that it's wrong. Like, you're wrong.
No, it probably is wrong. If it's, I thought I saw something come on my Twitter feed about that, but maybe it was from a bad source. Either way, you're right. So if Gobert's in, Cat's in, this is not a team that you can go small again. So I'm assuming it's Toscano Anderson that would take AD's spot. That doesn't mean that you should play Anderson, but I think that, you know, it's going to be a little LeBron show. right? If AD is out.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Yeah, tough matchup just in general. If AD doesn't play, maybe you take some shots on Damian Jones at 3K. Just because how cheap he is, like, he'd be someone that, like, that's where you're, like, going if you're trying to play Giannis type of play.
I think the bigger question is, what do you do with LeBron? Like, do you get overweight LeBron or underweight LeBron? He's 10-2 now, or 10-3 on DK. So, I mean, does this Lakers team have any kind of chance against Minnesota? As weird as that sounds, like, this Lakers team has been really bad. So I don't know, like, does LeBron still have that kind of ceiling where it's going to hurt you if you don't have him?
The greatest thing, right, about this spot is Minnesota is so spread out and they're so good that, like, for this game to stay close, LeBron has to have a monster game. That if, like, you're playing Minnesota to kind of control this game, you could just fade this game because no one's really going to, you know, destroy their price tag on Minnesota. Like, Cat and Gobert are 88 and 85. Edwards is 82. Russell's 72. Noel would probably, like, Noel or McDaniels, maybe taking a shot on one of those two guys because of their prices. But I struggle when I'm looking at, like, Minnesota. Like, if you think this game's going to get out of hand, Jalen Noel getting 26 or 28 minutes in a game that, like, he gets extra run in the fourth quarter because the game's not close, he could really crush at 5,200.
Yeah.
But I think if you're playing this game, like, if you're playing this game to stay close, you have to play LeBron. I mean, there's no way this game stays close and LeBron doesn't score 60-plus fantasy points. So I think just kind of predicting how this game is going to go is – you know, just big. And, like, this is a game where, like, it's not scary to fade even at a 227 total because Minnesota is just so spread out and the Lakers are just not that great. They're just not great. Yeah.
I have no problem completely ignoring them if you think it's going to be a blowout. Like you said, they're really spread out. So it's not imperative that you roster them.
If Westbrook sits and AD sits, like, maybe that's where you take some shots on, like, Reeves or none. And, like, even if the game gets out of hand, they still get their minutes. So we'll see how it plays out. Chicago at San Antonio, 229 total in this one. Chicago is a 5-point favorite. Ball is out. LaVine is questionable. And then on the San Antonio side, Vassell is out. So, I mean, that is definitely something to note. We'll talk about that in just a second. Let's go to Chicago first. What are your thoughts here on the Bulls?
Well, my first thought is Zach LaVine. I'm assuming that he'll be active. I'm not sure. I know they've been doing a lot of load management stuff with him. So that really kind of depends on news with him. Assuming he's in, I'd prefer to get to him over DeMar just because of price. You know, he's LaVine's 1400 cheaper than DeMar, so I wouldn't mind getting to LaVine in this matchup, but I could certainly understand getting to DeMar. Vucevic is another really spectacular play, but it's really just those big three. I'm not seeing anything else that I would need to prioritize.
Yeah, I mean, this game, Chicago should even with this game being in San Antonio, I think Chicago handles this game pretty well. I think price-wise, if LaVine plays, everyone's kind of priced where they should be. If LaVine is out, I have a ton of interest in AU at 5,500 and DeRozan at 8,900. Yeah. So that's where I would get my exposure if LaVine were to sit. But like with LaVine on the floor, the usage is just so spread out. Like Vooch is going to have like 50-point games every once in a while when he has like those 18 to 22 rebound games and, you know, gets a few easy putbacks. But 8,300 for Vooch is always playable in tournaments just because he does have that like 50-plus point upside.
I forgot about AU. Yeah, that's a really good call if LaVine is out. But if LaVine's in, my number one is going to be LaVine.
San Antonio side, one of my favorite plays on the entire slate. I know it's a tough matchup, but I really just don't care. Keldon Johnson. With Vassell off the floor this season, Keldon Johnson's almost at a 31% usage rate. He's averaging 1.9 or 1.29 fantasy points per minute. He's going to get 20-plus shot attempts up in this game. He's someone that can get steals. He can get assists, rebounds. I have a ton of interest in Keldon Johnson in this game.
Yeah, and at 7,200, that price is starting to climb, which I think will scare some people off of him. So I really like that call quite a bit. I think that's a spectacular play for tournaments. You know, it's like I don't want to pay 6K for Trey Jones. I don't want to pay 5,400 for Josh Anderson. So if I want exposure to this game, it's definitely going to be Keldon for me.
I think you could play Jakob Poeltl. Be like more DraftKings than FanDuel. You know, having the utility spot and really being able to play two centers if you wanted to. He's someone that can double-double in this game. The minutes is the biggest concern. You know, it just seems like Pop isn't going to play him into like the 35-minute range. Like his ceiling's kind of capped at only getting 30 minutes, but he's someone that could go for 40-plus at 6,800. If for some reason he got extra minutes in this game, he could really crush. So not a ton of interest, but, I mean, like I said, I love Keldon Johnson in this game. I think he's going to absolutely crush, even in a tough matchup. And even in games that they really haven't had, like, a game that got away outside of the Charlotte game, and that was his best game of the season. So it's tough to say.
Yeah, I think it's a great call.
Utah at Denver, 229.5 total here. Denver, 8.5-point favorites on the Utah side. Gay is out. Kessler and Sexton are questionable. On the Denver side, Michael Porter Jr. and KCP are questionable. Little injury news to pay attention to here. We'll start with Utah. What are your thoughts here on the Jazz?
I don't think it's going to be a priority for me. I don't mind Lauri Markkanen. I think he would be my favorite out of the bunch. Kelly Olynyk, every time I play him, he busts, and every time I don't, he's really good. So I don't really know. 6K is still playable, I think, but I prefer paying the 71 for Markkanen. That's just my lean anyway. I think this game is decent, but it's just nothing that I really have to play. Vanderbilt. For 5,600, I think he let down quite a few people yesterday or maybe 2 days ago. And I think that he'd be worth kind of going back to at 5,600.
This team's played first night of the season, and Olynyk just kept hacking Jokic, got in foul trouble really fast in that game. I like Olynyk when he can kind of extend someone, and like you're not extending Jokic, like it's just not a good matchup for Olynyk. I like Markkanen a lot in this game. I still think he's too cheap for his overall ceiling. You know, this is a guy that the usage is there. The shot attempts are there. The production is there. And, I mean, he's still 7,100. Like, he has, like, the stats and the usage to be, like, an 8K player. So, going to continue to play Markkanen when he's healthy. This guy's really good. It's just all about staying healthy for him. So,
Yeah, he fought an injury for like a year and a half, right? And now he's finally back to 100%. And it's really great to see because he's very, very talented. And I agree with you that if you get 35 minutes out of him, he could easily pay off 7,100. Like, he could easily go for over 40 in this matchup. So I think he's going to be a really low owned guy that you can get over weight to pretty easily in GPPs.
If KCP is out, like, I think you can take some shots on Jordan Clarkson in tournaments. Denver has struggled against wings for years. KCP has kind of helped that a little bit. If KCP sits, I think you could take some shots here on Clarkson. He's going to put up 10-plus three-point attempts, and if he shoots the ball really well, in large field tournaments, he could go for 45-ish points, and at 6,500, that's fantastic. So just another name to throw out there. I like this game a lot more than I thought I was going to. You really hope this game stays close if you're playing it for tournaments. So you're really going to have to load up on the Utah side if you're taking shots on like Jokic or anybody else here. So let's talk Denver. Jokic is, obviously the ceiling guy, but it's that same conversation we were having with Giannis. Like, what does Jokic need to do to get there at 11K? Is the biggest question. Probably a triple double. What are your thoughts here on Denver?
See, I'm so biased because Jokic is my favorite player to roster. So I feel like I'm always overweight him, always play him in single entry. But yeah, you're right. Like, it's not like a smash spot. His usage has not been as extreme as it has been in years past. Michael Porter Jr. has really kind of taken up a notch in terms of his offensive output. So, and of course we have Jamal Murray back. So it's tough. Cause I'm probably going to sit here and tell you that you don't have to play Jokic, but I'm probably going to play Jokic in my single entry team. So I always really like his ceiling, and he does everything, right? So I think that he can easily get 65 in this matchup.
Huge bump for him if Michael Porter Jr. sits.
I'm projecting him, Michael Porter, in. But if Michael Porter Jr. sits, then I would say, bias aside, I think you should be playing Jokic. I would prefer him. I think it's kind of like worth considering, like, if you can't play, let's say AD's out, and let's say Michael Porter Jr.'s out. Like, do you play Jokic and LeBron, or do you try to go bat more balance and just try to play one of them? Because I would rather just play Jokic, to be honest with you.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
Yeah, I think Michael Porter Jr. ended up playing. Everything that I read before the podcast, everything seems optimistic about him playing. So,
yeah.
I mean, I don't have a ton of interest in Denver, but I have a ton of interest in Utah. So for that, I'll end up on Jokic a little bit. I don't like playing Aaron Gordon. I would much rather play Michael Porter Jr. I think Michael Porter Jr. has a higher ceiling than Aaron Gordon. New Orleans at Phoenix. We have a ton of injuries in this one. Question marks, a ton of that. This one filled up the whole, almost the whole page for me. So, I mean, this game is a 225 total. Phoenix is a 6-point favorite, but this game is really going to be dependent on some injury news here. So, Alvarado is questionable. Daniels is questionable. Ingram's out. Jones is questionable. CJ McCollum and Zion Williamson are questionable. On the Phoenix side, Crowder and Wainwright are out. I mean, Zion missed a game the other night with the same hip injury. Brandon Ingram is in the concussion protocol. We know he's not going to play. CJ McCollum hurt his finger the other night. That's not what you want to hear for a guy that's like a sharpshooter type of player. I mean, this game is really interesting depending on the injury news, because Trey Murphy would become someone that is very interesting. Larry Nance Jr. could potentially become someone that is really interesting here. And I mean, dare I say, like, Devontae Graham, depending on some of this injury news, would become very interesting. Like, there are, and like, Marshall, he could play a bunch of minutes as well. So, I mean, this game being the 10 o'clock game and kind of dictating how some value should fall on this slate, we really hope we get some news early in the day, because it really does seem like Zion and CJ McCollum are both like legit questionable. Zion more than CJ. I think CJ is like my finger hurts questionable, which could affect his overall upside. But what are your thoughts here on New Orleans?
Well, it's kind of like what we talked about at the beginning. It's like you want to have exposure. Like, do you want to have exposure to those early games? And if we don't get the news until after 7 o'clock Eastern time, then I will tell you, you probably don't want exposure to those early games, because you're going to want to be waiting on news for this game. And we all know that optimal NBA DFS play is about adjusting to news. And this could be the value that you need to jam in all the studs. So I think that, you know, if we don't get the news, then this is the game you got to wait for and hope a couple of the pieces break the way that we want them to break. I really, if Zion sits, if Murphy sits, then I think it's Larry Nance time, right? I mean, he's got to be the next guy up. We know that he's kind of a usage hog that likes to, you know, put up the stats, as they say. It's Alvarado's questionable too, right, Stevie?
Yes, he's questionable too.
Yeah, that's too bad, because he would be another guy that would absolutely smash his price tag.
And his back spasms for him, I think he's
I played him last slate when he left the game, and he was like 8% owned, and he was crushing, and I would have cashed, but he got hurt and left the game. So I don't know, but either way, he would be in a fantastic spot if he plays and like McCollum ends up sitting.
If Zion misses this game, I have a ton of interest in Trey Murphy. I just want to say that, like, I don't care what happens with like CJ McCollum or anything like that. If Zion misses this game, I have a ton of interest in Trey Murphy. I don't think anything else really matters for Trey Murphy. If Zion sits, a lot of interest in Trey Murphy. Phoenix side, I mean, you know where the production's coming from Phoenix. You know where the usage is. Devin Booker, usage hog, over 19 shot attempts in every game so far this season, playing 35-plus minutes a night. In games that stay close, he crushes. If Zion plays and McCollum plays, that's where you're really getting into like playing Devin Booker, and that's where you're really getting into playing some of these Phoenix players.
Yeah, I mean, this is, playing Booker is purely dependent on the Pelicans news, because if the Pelicans are all sitting, then the Suns should absolutely roll this game. And I really don't have interest in paying $9,000 for Devin Booker. I understand that he has a ceiling. I understand that he's an all-star. But I just don't – looking at the rest of the slate, I don't have a ton of interest in that. And I don't really have any interest in any of the auxiliary pieces for this team.
I mean, I don't hate Bridges at 5,600. Tough matchup for Ayton with Valanciunas. I could see, like – Bridges coming in with like an 8 and 15 line, and if he gets any like steals or blocks in the process, he ends up with 30+ at 5,600. 6K at 5,600 is not terrible, so I don't mind Bridges. But yeah, I mean, on the Phoenix side, you really want to see news in the morning that like Zion's going to play, McCollum's fine. And that's where you really start loading up on game stacks of this game, because that's where this game becomes way more interesting. If those guys are out, it becomes interesting on a value perspective, and you really don't need to run value back with Phoenix because the game probably doesn't stay close. Houston at Portland is where we finished, 226.5 total in this one. Washington and Fernando out for Houston. And then on the Portland side, I mean, some of the biggest news on the slate is no Damian Lillard. There's a couple other people that were out too. Let me forget. It was Payton's out, Sarr is out, and Watford is out. So we'll start with Houston and then we'll go to Portland. I think this game stays competitive with no Damian Lillard. And if this game stays competitive, there's a lot of fantasy goodness in this game. Jalen Green has a ceiling. Jabari Smith Jr. has a ceiling. You know, we know that KPJ has a ceiling. He's probable for this game. So, I mean, if this game stays competitive, like, this is a 2-2, 2-3, 3-2 type of stack game that, I mean, has all the goodness in it.
Yeah, when I knew that I was doing the show with you today, I was looking at you know, the slate, and I was like, this is my favorite like game stack. And I know that on the show you like to focus on GPPs, and I was like, this is the game that
What's
I
cash
think...
games? I don't know what those are.
Right now I know, but I mean, I play single I play single entries, you know, so I don't play like the super crazy teams, you know, like I don't, you know, but I know that people like to, you know, multi-enter for GPPs, and I love this game for a game stack. This game is so, like Simons, Green, Smith, Nurkic, Hart, of course. You know, it's like all these pieces fit so well together. You know, it's like, and I think this is going to be such a, like a defense optional game, right? Like neither one of these teams is going to play hard defense. So I expect, you know, one of Simons, Hart, or Nurkic to have absolutely monster performances. My preference for a Rocket is Jalen Green, but you could really go with Porter or Smith.
Yeah, I mean, Smith against Nurkic really kind of opens up Jalen Green and Kevin Porter Jr. to have a good game. You know, we could even see, like, Jason Tate, if he got his minutes increased here, which we have no idea if that's going to happen or not unless a report comes out. So I really think I want to stick to like KPJ, Jalen Green, and Jabari Smith in this one for Houston. I don't think I'm going to mess with any of the bench players. I just don't see a ton of interest or a ton of value. Like, no one's playing a ton of minutes off the bench and like really producing. You know, they got Boban. They don't.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, I think it's really Simons and Green would be my two favorite guys.
Fernando was playing off the bench a little bit. So, I mean, there are a couple minutes there. Maybe it's like Eason getting, you know, 22, 23 minutes, but I just don't see myself ending up on him. He's the same price as Sharp on the other side of this game, and I'd much rather play Sharp. So let's talk about Portland. I mean, no Lillard's huge. And we're going to have this for like a week, week and a half, 2 weeks. You know, we're going to see a ton of ownership for Simons in this game. So talk to me here about no Lillard and what you're looking at here for Portland.
Yeah, I mean, it's Simons for me. I think that we've seen him plenty of times in like in the years past that like he can pay off this 7,100 price tag pretty easily. I have a lot more faith in Simons than I do in Josh Hart, even though I respect Josh Hart as a basketball player. But, you know, he can be, you know, a little shaky, and he is 6,600. So I think I'd much rather spend the 500 and get and make sure I get Simons. And then I also like Nurkic quite a bit. Those would be my two priority spends.
Yeah, Simons.
And I think they're going to project really well when, like, when projections come up tomorrow morning. I think we're going to see a lot of this game on the top of projections.
Yeah, it should.
Yeah,
Simons should crush here. 32.5% usage rate with Lillard and those guys off the floor this season. I like Sharp a lot. He's one of my favorite value plays on the slate. I think he starts. I really think they move him into the starting lineup and Simons to the one and Sharp to the two. And I think he touches the ball enough in this game where if he gets 28 minutes at 4,400 in a great game script type of game, like I think Sharp is just one of the best value plays on the slate night before looking at the slate as a whole. So ton of interest here in the rookie. I mean, they like him a lot. So I think this is a perfect opportunity with no Lillard to kind of see what you got. I mean, you know what you're getting out of Simons. You know what you have here with Hart, but I mean, this is a perfect opportunity for Portland to be like, hey, let's see what we got in Sharp here. He should be solid. We'll see.
Yeah. All right. Let's play these. Excellent. Yeah. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, you know, Sharp does have, 20% usage rate, which is pretty darn good considering he's played all those games with Lillard. So, I mean, well, or at least when Lillard's been playing. So you'd have to imagine he's going to get, you know, a few more percentage points in usage. So for $4,400, it would just be an issue of ownership for me. Like if he's going to be the chalk du jour, I'd be a little bit hesitant, but if he's not going to be super, super chalky, then I think he's a fantastic tournament play.
I could see Simons getting so much ownership that Sharp goes overlooked.
Yeah.
And I think you could play both of them together, really. I have no issues with that because of the pricing. So, all right, let's play the morning grind game, and then we'll get out of here. We're going to use DK pricing and DK scoring for the game. Favorite play under 5,000 to go 7X. Who's your cheap play that you like to go over 7X today?
You want chalky or not chalky?
You do whatever you want.
All right. I think Lonnie Walker is under 5K. He's kind of my getting weird GPP play.
Lonnie Walker is 53.
Ah. No. Oh man. Well, if he plays and McCollum's out, then Jose Alvarado is my guy.
All right. I mean, I just talked about my guy. I like Sharp a lot. Yeah. We just talked about him. I don't have to go into it in detail because I just talked about it. Let's go over 8K. Expensive guy to go under 5X. Who is your bust of the day?
Giannis.
All right. We'll see. I struggle with this one today. I'm going to go DeRozan. I think LaVine plays. If LaVine's out, obviously that changes things. As of right now, the information that we have in front of us with LaVine more likely to play, I'm going to go DeRozan at 8,900. I think he is someone that is just overpriced if LaVine's in there. So, favorite 6X play can be any price range you want. Give me someone that you'd like to go 6X today.
All right. Well, Simons is the cheat code. Like that's like the easy one, but I think, Lauri Markkanen is a great GPP one.
I like it. I like Haliburton a lot today. I'm going to go Haliburton. It's one of my favorite plays on the slate. I love that game just in general. So I think he's someone that can go 6X. I think he's going for 50-plus fantasy points tonight. So let's get weird. GPP player of the day, someone you project to be under 10% owns in tournaments that you really like today.
Where did you go? Oh, Bradley Beal.
Well, I like that. That's a game. I mean, I like that game. So
I really like that game. I just don't know how much we're gonna be able to get to it, if depending on news.
Do you think Paolo's gonna be under 10% owned?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, I love him. I hope he's under 10% owned. So I love bigs against Charlotte. His usage is just insane. I hope people don't play him. So
that 7 o'clock like window of games, that set those two 7 and 7:30 games are gonna be, I think, very, very low owned.
Any bets standing out to you night before?
I think that we wanna keep an eye out. Like I wanna keep an eye out on the Cavs. Like you said, like Evan Mobley, you know, like his rebound or point props. I don't know if they're out yet. I haven't looked. I can only play underdog fantasy in my state where I live in. So I can only do like parlay picks for sports betting props.
Yeah. For me today, I think the thing that stands out to me the most is Minnesota -7. The Lakers look awful. And Minnesota is a really good team. So with all the question marks on AD and Westbrook, if those guys get ruled out, that line's going to move big time. So I would jump on Minnesota -7. Before we get out of here, we got a sleeper 2-for-2 pick. We're doing good this season so far. I got two plays for you today for everyone. So if this hits, it's 3X. I play this every day. If you're in the Roto-Grinders squad, you can see this, but I'm going to go Haliburton over 17.5 points and Paolo Banchero over 23.5 points today. So those are my sleeper 2-for-2 picks, 3X all in, and hopefully we keep it going. Like I said, I think we are 4-1 on the year, so off to a really good start over there on sleeper. So promo code Grinders, 100% deposit bonus up to $100. Subscribe and turn on notifications on YouTube. That's going to wrap us up here for Friday. Tim, thanks for hopping on and talking some NBA. We'll be back Monday talking more hoops. Hope everyone has a great weekend. We'll see you then.